Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. And we're from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
That's right. If you haven't been out to Revolution Church yet, you totally should come and check this out.
Right.
We would love to have you be part of what we're doing here. We don't care what you wear. We don't care what you look like. We hardly care what you've done, except we just want you to feel forgiven and no shame about
right.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of us here have done things that we're not proud of.
Yeah.
You know, and probably you have too. I know you're human, right?
I always like to say to people, that thought that you've had that you never told anyone you thought because you even know it was a bad thought.
Right.
God knows you thought that and you need forgiveness for it. And we know that you've thought those things, not what they were, but we know you've thought them because we have too. We're just human beings seeking God together. What you're going to find here at Revolution Church is people who are trying to find God together.
Amen.
And we want you to be part of that. Anyway, today we're talking about reasons to not believe in Christianity.
What?
Well, we're talking about 8 reasons why Christianity is false.
There's 8?
Apparently. All right. Bill Flavell wrote an article on churchandstate.org, 8 reasons why Christianity is false. So we're going to cover those today. We're going to talk about them. Are they good reasons or not?
Right. Okay.
And because if there's reasons not to believe, we're just wasting our time here.
Right. We want to know the truth regardless of where that leads.
That's
right. We believe that the truth leads to Jesus. But if you can prove otherwise beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Boom. Tell us, man.
There you go.
So, we're also going to answer Bible contradiction and hopefully a listener question. We had a good question come in this week that I'd like to share with everybody. So,
okay.
As always, thank you for sharing our stuff on social media, on Facebook, whatever social media you're on, and sending in your questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Dave, 8 reasons why Christianity is false. Reason numero uno.
Oh, that's number one for those English-speaking people. There is clear evidence that prayer does not work, despite the Bible promising prayers will be answered.
Why does he say this?
Probably because he's never had answered prayer.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
There's clear evidence that prayer doesn't work, despite the Bible promising prayers will be answered.
Actually,
and you're thinking maybe in his life, God hasn't answered his prayers.
There is clear evidence that, prayer doesn't work for certain people.
That's right. In fact, we've done a show. I've done sermons about why God won't answer your prayer. It's very clear. There are moments in life where God isn't going to answer your prayer.
Right.
And he tells us why. Do you remember any of those reasons?
Well, one of them is if you are being bad to your spouse.
Yes, that's like one of my favorite ones. A lot of people like to say that Christianity is chauvinistic.
Right.
You know, for it's all about the men. But in reality, in scripture, it actually says, men, if you aren't treating your wives with respect, if you aren't loving them well, then your prayers will be hindered. That's a huge thing. Basically, God's like, hey, if you messing with my daughter, don't expect to get nothing from me.
Right.
And he probably doesn't say it all gangster like I just did, but right. He's very clear on this. If a husband is not treating a wife well, that husband should expect that his prayers are hindered,
right.
That God's not listening. There's other ones like if you're in a sin and you're not repentant of that sin and you want to engage in that sin, then you shouldn't expect that God is going to
right.
answer your prayers. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of them. You have to be able to pray in Jesus' name. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, there is one mediator between God and man, right? And that is Jesus. And so we pray through Jesus, and Jesus actually intercedes on our behalf.
That's right.
And so we.
And when you pray in Jesus' name, is it just saying, blah, 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 whatever I want, and I say this in Jesus' name?
Not necessarily whatever I want. I mean, we have to have our wants aligned with God's wants.
Okay, yeah, there. So, I mean, I could ask it another way. Can I just stand up and say, stop in the name of the law?
You could say that.
But would it have any power?
It would have no power, absolutely.
Why?
Because you're not the law. Because
I'm not the law.
Right.
Right, but a police officer can say, stop in the name of the law.
And I'm going to keep going.
Oh, jeez. But if the police officer was doing something that wasn't in line with the law, he also couldn't say that. And
right.
So there's a lot of reasons prayers might not be answered, but Dave and I, we both have many answered prayers.
Amen, yeah.
Things that you can't just chalk up to coincidence.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I've got a prayer sheet over 150 pages long, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of answered prayer. It was like a dozen not answered.
Right.
I think our expectation is that God should answer prayer. All right. Number two.
There is clear evidence that humans invent gods, and there is no reason to believe that the Jewish God is an exception.
Oh, my goodness. So is there, first of all, let's break this up in two things, because he says his claim number one is there's clear evidence humans invent gods, and claim number two is there's no reason to believe the Jewish God is any exception.
Right.
All right, so let's break it up. The first part, clear evidence that humans invent gods. Is this true or false?
Well, I think that at first blush, it's true. But I honestly think that because there is a God, that people try to invent a God that is not like the actual God to try and be their God in place of God. Does that make sense?
Whoa. Let me follow that again.
Okay. People invent God because there is a God, and they have to explain what's happening outside of that, you know, because they don't believe that they're, you know, they don't want to believe this God over here, but they're going to invent their own God and say,
gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know if I could explain that one again.
So you're saying because everybody inside them knows that God is real.
Yes.
That they all believe in a God, but they would prefer to invent some type of God that they can comprehend.
Yes. Thank you for putting that in English.
And so, while he says there's clear evidence that that humans invent gods, you know, I'm not sure I would say that there's clear evidence humans invent gods. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that statement. I'm not sure there's clear evidence of it, but it's true. I think that humans do invent gods. But to then say there's no reason to believe the Jewish God is an exception, actually, there's some massive reasons. Right. Like almost all of these gods in human history have been like, well, he's the God of thunder. Well, he's the God of such and such. And they're all subject to humanity's rules, the universe itself. The Jewish God, however, is the creator God of all things, the universe itself. There is no real religion that contains a massive God who's the creator of all other things. And so, and then of course we have tons of reasons to believe. Right. Just go to our website.
We'll put up some links.
Sure. All right. Number three.
Number three, there's clear evidence that religions and God and gods are propagated through culture by infecting children. And no evidence that they are propagated by gods. Oh, I see what he's saying.
Infecting children.
By basically brainwashing our kids, right?
We would actually call this teaching children, not infecting children. However,
you say potato, I say potato.
Yeah. But, I think it would be, he says there's clear evidence that religions are propagated through culture by infecting children. I would like him to point out or to wrestle with the fact that every culture throughout the world, all of human history has always pointed to a God. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. So this isn't just some thing that's being propagated. Hey, somehow we got to get the kids brainwashed.
Right.
Right. There's not some massive conspiracy, because this is every single culture from all humanity of all time, no matter where they were, even when they weren't connected to each other, except with a common ancestor. This is just kind of ridiculous to say that the only reason it exists is by infecting children. That's just ridiculous.
It was a ridiculous way to put it, the way you did.
So. Number four.
Number four, there is clear evidence that religions evolve as human understanding of the world changes, whilst the real God-given religion should never need to change.
Okay, well, let's break this up into two parts.
Okay.
Let's do the second part first. A real God-given religion should never need to change. Is that true or false?
That is true.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I think a real God-given religion should have reason to change.
Okay, actually, what I was saying is that God, my God, will never change.
God will never change, but our religion will.
That's the perspective I was coming from, so yes.
Right. He didn't say, though, that God didn't change.
You're right.
Right? We say God doesn't change, but there's nothing in any of our scriptures that say anything like that your religion won't change at all. In fact, Christianity was based on the premise that religion changes. We believe that they sacrificed animals, that there was all sorts of stuff going on in the Jewish religion. Then when Jesus died and came back to life, the written code was canceled. Right. It was replaced with a new covenant that we don't have to follow the old covenant anymore. All throughout history, God made different covenants with different people at different times and places. It's all under the one grand scheme of grace, because there is a God who's always the same, but he works with people differently at different times and different places.
Amen.
Of course religion's going to change. God's not like some static being that goes, all right, here's everything that I want you to do and happen. Nothing's going to change, even though there's going to be vast differences in cultures and timelines. Like whatever the people in Babylon did 4,000 years ago, that's exactly what I want the people in England to do in 2017.
Okay.
Right. Like that's not.
That would be a real hindrance.
Now, what is interesting is the moral codes have essentially remained right. The same.
Yeah.
Not the ceremonial laws, but the moral codes.
Right. There has been no evolution in moral code.
That's
all
right.
Been pretty much the same.
That's right. I mean, how it works out is different. You know, don't commit adultery. Has worked out to not just don't cheat on your wife, but to don't look at pornography, mm-hmm. right? That's changed. But the base moral code is the same. So that was the second part. The first part of it said, there's clear evidence that religions evolve as human understanding of the world changes. Well, according to what we just said, that's totally okay. Right. That's totally okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right, number five.
Number five, there's clear evidence that humans on this planet have unequal access to Christianity. So if Christianity is true, billions would be condemned to hell for no fault of their own. This contradicts the Christian notion that God is omnibenevolent.
Okay. You know what? This reminds me of our listener question today.
Okay.
We're going to answer our listener question when we get on the other side of this break.
Okay.
But let's dig into this, okay? There's clear evidence that humans have unequal access to Christianity. Is that true?
I would say that is true because there are tribes in South America that have no written Bible. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever visited them possibly.
Yeah.
And so they have no knowledge of Jesus.
True, true. But clear evidence that humans on this planet have unequal access to Christianity while we have very, very good access. Mm-hmm. Now he said, if so, Christianity is true, billions would be condemned to hell for no fault of their own. Now, that's not true.
Right.
No fault of their own. I have a major problem with that statement. Right.
And I know why.
Why?
Because we are all terrible, terrible beings, and we all screw up, and we are all sinful. We are born in a sin nature.
Yeah.
And that's what condemns us.
And we all choose to reject God, mm-hmm. period. Plain and simple. Every single human being on this planet has chosen to reject God. We're going to get into the listener question, and I'm going to quote some Bible verses there, but I'll give you a little hint. Acts 17 teaches us that wherever God has placed us, whether we're in the United States or whether you're in that tribe in Africa, God has placed us in the place that we are most likely to call out to him. Most likely to call out to him. And so it's not like we've been put into a vacuum where, man, I'm not a very bad person, and if I'd just been put in America, then yeah, I would have had a chance. But, right. And God's like, oh man, you drew the really bad lottery right. number.
And you came this close.
Yeah. Oh, stupid. If you just would have been born in America,
right.
That's not how it was. Mm-hmm. God's actually put people in a place where they're most likely to call out to him. And if they call out to him, he will reveal himself to them.
Amen.
And so anyone who wants to know God, I actually believe God will reveal who Jesus is to those people. There are crazy missionary stories of people going into a tribe, this tribe coming out and saying, tell us about Jesus. We had a vision the other night, our tribe did, that these two men, and they described them, two white men with a case were going to come and tell us how to know God. And just like this tribe had decided they wanted to know God. And
that's awesome.
So God revealed themselves to him.
Right.
So I should look that up and get the actual name and maybe we can post that.
Yeah.
So that'd be good to know. But, it is true that we all will go to hell apart from Jesus, but it's not because we're innocent. It's because we're guilty. And it's because we've chosen not to seek out the God who can offer us forgiveness.
Right. And the thing that God actually gives us is clemency if we would just take it.
Simple.
Yeah.
Jesus died for your sins. All you have to do is say, I accept that. I believe you and I will confess Jesus as Lord. All right. Truth Revolution. We're going to be right back. I got a listener question very similar to what we just talked about. It's actually about the Native Americans.
Okay.
So we're gonna hit that on the other side of the show. We also got a Bible contradiction coming out to Revolution Church. Our service times are on our website for the church, which is
revo.church.
I'm glad you remembered that.
Thank you.
Or truthrevolution.tv.
Yes.
You should put me on the spot more often. I feel like I'm always putting you on the spot.
It's okay. I need it.
That's right. Because 5 plus 10 is
15. never do math, okay? Don't ever put me on the spot with math.
All right, we'll be right back with more Putting Dave on the Spot, listener question, and a Bible contradiction.
2 + 2 = chair.
No, it doesn't, Dave.
Yes, it does. An upside down chair. 4.
We believe the Bible is God's word.
So yeah, we take it seriously. That's why
we also believe in untamed mercy. Look, we all, even you, have done or thought things you're ashamed of.
But we find healing and freedom when we experience God's love and forgiveness from people who love God and love each other.
That's why church is important.
We're forgiving each other. Look, I don't care what you've done. In fact, I can't wait to say you're forgiven straight to you in person.
Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Is there grace in the Old Testament, or is it something new in the New Testament after Jesus?
Virtually every story in the Old Testament is proof of grace, actually.
The theological phrase is salvation history, a recounting of the many times God had mercy on Israel.
It's a very clear pattern that we see over and over and over.
And it goes something like this.
Step one, Israel forsakes God and breaks a command, especially worshiping other gods and rejecting the real God.
Step two, God gives Israel over to nations to harm it, take them captive, or ruin them.
Step three, Israel cries out to God, Yahweh, for deliverance from their situation. They ask for mercy.
Step four, God gives them mercy and delivers Israel from their enemies.
We see this over and over. Mercy's not new when Jesus comes. In fact, the whole point of the Old Testament laws was to help everyone understand
you are not perfect. You need God's mercy.
So, mercy in the Old Testament? Absolutely.
TruthRevolution.tv.
So at Revolution Church, we want you to be informed.
That's why once a month we do a welcome class, grab some pizza, and talk about what we believe.
We'll show you why we believe the Bible is God's word, Jesus rose from the dead, and that science is still really important.
It is an interesting mix. It's one we're completely convinced about.
Why don't you check out Revolution? Come to a welcome class and see what you might be missing.
Give us 1 month. You don't have anything to lose.
Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revo.church.
Truth Revolution.
No, seriously, draw a stick chair.
2 + 2
and then turn it over.
Chair.
Draw a stick chair and turn it over from the side. It's a 4. I'm just saying.
Couch plus potato equals 83.
I never said anything that ridiculous.
You get it?
All righty. Now he's heckling me.
Okay, sometimes...
We went from putting me on the spot to heckling me, thanks.
We would, you know, our show would be able to fit in more content if we didn't we didn't mess with each other so much. All right.
I blame that on you.
We're gonna get into this listener question because it's very similar to the question that we just answered, okay. So I want to make sure we do that.
All right. Question.
All right, listener question today comes from Matt. It's a long one, and I never get through these, so...
Things are going to happen.
Yes, they are. All right, here we go. Matt asks, "Hello, Truth Revolution. I was wondering, in your mind, do you think all unevangelized go to hell?" This particular question has always bothered me and made me wonder because I am a Native American and my ancestors are full of unevangelized people. My high school doctrine teacher firmly believes, like how C.S. Lewis believes, that some of my ancestors and other indigenous people's ancestors have gone to heaven through unconsciously living their life for Jesus. You see, since they never heard of Christ, their hearts pointed to him without them knowing, and thus they went to heaven. Now, I don't know where I stand on this teaching. I'd like to think
Some of my indigenous ancestors have gone to heaven. But if the truth is that they didn't, then I guess I have to face the hard truth. But I'm just curious about what your stance is on this.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Matt. I think this is a very important question. It's a very serious one that a lot of people wrestle with, because it's not just Native Americans. There's a lot of people with ancestors who maybe didn't have a chance to hear the gospel message. And I do think, of course, when it comes to Native Americans, the question becomes even more poignant. But I do think that believing in Jesus is necessary for salvation.
Right.
Just to get that out there right away. You know, right after heaven, or right after Jesus, right before Jesus ascended to heaven, Jesus said...
You're putting yourself on the spot.
I guess so, man. Right before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said, so this is like one of the last things he said to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, if it was the case that as long as they hadn't heard about Jesus or the gospel, then people would be saved, Jesus was just doing a huge disservice to the world by telling his disciples to go and tell everybody about him. If Jesus really loved them, he would have said, no, don't send missionaries, don't do evangelism. Hide your Bibles. Don't tell anybody, because then they won't be held accountable.
Right.
But that's not like, why would Jesus make his last statement one about going to tell everybody in the world the good news? Because people are only saved when the good news is heard and accepted.
Amen.
When the Apostle Paul was teaching about how important it is to send people, he was in the Areopagus and he said this. This is actually Romans 10. We're going to read verses 9 to 11 and then verses 13 to 15.
All right. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?
Okay, sorry, this wasn't the Areopagus quote. This is just a letter he wrote. But I think this makes it pretty clear. If we believe and confess Jesus, it says we'll be saved. But how can people do that if they don't believe?
Right.
And he says, and they can't believe if they haven't heard. This is why missions work is important, or precisely because there are people like your ancestors who may not have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is why this is so, so stinking important. Now, that being said, I will make a caveat now to the Areopagus thing, right? When Paul was preaching there, he said, from one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and what?
Find him.
And find him, though he is not far from any of us. Okay, so the times and places that people lived, including your ancestors, it seems, would to me, according to what Paul said, would be the place that they would be most likely to call out to God.
Amen.
I was born in the United States, 1978. Some people born in India, 1844. Dave was born in the United States, 1622. Each of us is placed in a situation that makes us most likely to call out to God. And there are...
I'm a little bit younger than that, but that's all right.
I was 1722. And there are many recent stories of Muslim men having visions of Jesus calling out to the real God. It's possible that some of your ancestors called out to the one true God.
Absolutely.
Whose evidence is everywhere. Just read Psalm 19 or Romans 1:20. Jesus appeared to them. Maybe your ancestors were saved after Jesus showed up to them. I don't know exactly what happened to your ancestors, but I do know that without Jesus, we're still condemned in our sin.
Right.
I do know that God's mercy is greater than we can imagine, though.
Absolutely.
And I do know that he wants all to be saved. And I do know that he puts us in times and places where we call to him. So if anything, this should push us to be missionaries or give support to missionaries right now.
I got a question.
You know, that whole thing, it actually gives hope, you know? And that's what God is. God is a God of hope. And
yes,
if there would be no hope without Jesus. So
that's right. All right, let's get on to number six.
Number six, there is clear evidence, he says that a lot.
Yeah.
That the Bible, supposedly inspired by God, is riddled with the type of errors that we would expect from Iron Age men, but not from the creator of the universe.
So he's got a problem with Iron Man.
Oh, that one's too ironclad. I guess I'm going to be atheist.
Well, my brain is like a steel trap. I'm going to answer this one.
All right, go for it.
Enough iron, steel puns. I don't think it's true. The Bible's riddled with the type of errors that we would expect from Iron Age men. I don't know what he's talking about.
Right.
Was he talking about, like, when they refer to the circumference of a circle, it being 3 instead of 3.14?
Right.
So what? Maybe 100 years from now, they'll be like, I can't believe they only did pi to 2 decimal places. Right. What idiots. Well, who cares?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it doesn't really matter. I don't think that matters at all. All right, number 7.
All right. Wow, he didn't say there's clear evidence.
Ooh.
Christian theology is incoherent to the point of absurdity.
That's pretty clear.
God killing his son so he can forgive our future sin is like me breaking my son's leg so I can forgive my neighbor in case she ever parks her car in my drive. It is quite ridiculous.
Okay.
That would be very benevolent of him to break his son's leg so that he can forgive his neighbor.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. That's a really funny analogy. Mm-hmm. And of course, he wants it to be kind of ridiculous to show how ridiculous Christianity is. There's a major, major, major difference between you breaking your son's legs and God sacrificing his son, Jesus.
Right.
The major difference is you are not God.
Amen.
The second major difference is your son is not God.
Right.
The third major difference is you and your son didn't decide this together. And the fourth major difference is breaking your son's legs doesn't actually absolve your neighbor of guilt.
There you go.
However, when Jesus took our punishment, he was absolving our guilt because he was the one who was going to hold us accountable.
Right.
It's like Jesus was the judge who was going to find us guilty. He came down and said, this has to be paid for. Allow me to pay it, right? This is Numbers 1, 2, and 3. Not only was God the God who has authority to do all these things and the authority to lay guilt and pull guilt away, he also, Jesus is God.
Right.
One God, the Trinity, one God, God the Father and God the Son. Jesus agreed with this plan. It's not that God forced Jesus to do this against his will. Jesus willingly laid down his life.
Amen.
So this is it's not like you breaking your son's legs. It's like you throwing yourself in front of a car to knock someone else out of the way.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the difference.
Right.
This is huge. You have to understand that. And you have the right, or you don't have the right to take someone else's life. You have the right to give up your own to save someone. That's what Jesus did. That's what God the Father asked him to do. And as God, he can do that. So that's a major difference. All right. Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you from Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Let's do this fast so we can get to number 8.
All right, James 1:17, the Father of Lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow or turning. Psalm 18:1, he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him, where dark waters, thick clouds of the skies.
Okay, so is God in light or darkness?
Right.
Well, clearly, we're going to use the D in our correct acronym for dialect. Mm-hmm. What genre are they talking about? What types of things are they saying? I mean, they're just giving metaphors. God being in light means he's full of truth. It means he's, just like James 1 was saying, there's no lying in him. He's all truth. Psalm 18 talks about him being in darkness. Why? Well, if you read the rest of the chapter, it's this guy who was in distress. People are pursuing him. And then God all of a sudden, like, boom, like, breaks out of these dark clouds and comes and rescues him. It's just an analogy. It's just a metaphor.
Right.
It's not a contradiction in any way, shape, or form.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's go to number 8.
All right.
There's clear evidence, again, that the arguments presented for the existence of God are founded on theological or on logical fallacies. All of them, he says. All that is left for Christian is faith in their feelings. We know that faith and feelings can be used to believe in any God at all, including non-existent gods. So faith and feelings are epistemologically worthless, and that is all Christians have.
Faith and feelings are not epistemologically worthless. I would say they aren't completely reliable, but they're not worthless. I certainly have a love for my wife, and it's made me make certain decisions.
Right.
I have feelings that are based on truth. That's not worthlessness. However, his contention that our logical arguments are all fallacies Not true.
Nope.
All you have to do is come to our show, listen to the Kalam Cosmological, the Vertical Cosmological, the Ontological, the teleological, all these different arguments,
right.
The statistical problem. Actually, you know what? Go back and like listen to the show from a week or two ago.
There you go.
All right.
We'll link to
just
it.
Just type in statistics.
In case you can't find it.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Truth Revolution. Come on out to Revolution Church. We would love to have you. Revo.church, the website. Revo, R-E-V-O.church. What is it again, Dave?
Revo.church, R-E-V-O.church.
Look at that. I put you on the spot. You didn't even hesitate.
I know.
You're just right there.
Yeah.
What's our website?
Revo.church.
No, ours, the radio show.
Truthrevolution.tv.
Gotcha. 2 + 2 is chair.